Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Lord has a word of encouragement for us. All the things that are happening in the world, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to forget that we inhabit a completely different kingdom. That our lives are not ruled and governed by the kingdoms of this world, but by the kingdom of heaven. And God's kingdom is advancing. It is not withdrawing. His love, just because things are difficult, does not mean his love is gone, does not mean he's forsaken us. It does not mean he doesn't know what's going on. He is raising up an army right now. He is building his army. He is gathering his troops. He is plotting his strategy, and he's getting ready to release an army of love into this earth, because that's what's going to contradict, that's what's going to push back the forces of darkness. We don't wage war according to the flesh, but according to the spirit, according to love. So we're learning that. We're learning how to love. We're learning how to love in spite of. We're learning how to love in no matter what's going around us, because that is what's going to push the enemy back. That's what's going to create change in our cities and create change in our state and create change in our nation. We can't think of doing warfare according to the terms of the world. So be encouraged. God has not forsaken us. He's not left us. He's right here in our midst. He's building his church. He's building his army. And at the right time, he's going to say, okay, it's time to go. And we're all going to be ready to go.
Amen. Amen. You know, as Carol was sharing that, I just really sensed in my spirit that there's a pursuing love that the Lord has for us. And I really sense the Spirit of God saying that I am going to pursue you. I will continue to pursue you, because there's something I want you to know, not in theory, not become from a textbook, but my love, which runs so deep within you. And how do you open yourself up to this? Just say, Lord, I love you. You love me. And just receive that this day, says the Lord, receive of my love. You may not understand it, you may not comprehend it, but know that even as my prophet Isaiah said, I have you engraved upon my hand. There's nothing that can come to you or against you, but my love will sustain you through it. So this day, know and just celebrate the fact that I'm pursuing you with my love, and I will finish what I have started, and I will go before you in every situation, in every circumstance, and my love will sustain you and carry you. And when the day is done, you will know that it's because of my love that my purpose has been fulfilled and accomplished in your life. In Jesus' name. Can we say amen this morning? Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, let's get into the message. There's a teaching outline right next to you. Grab one. This is it. This is our big start. We're off and running. Today's the first Sunday in our brand new big series called The Inspired Life. And I welcome you here in the sanctuary. And if you're joining us in the cafe or if you're listening online, so excited to be able to be together this way around the Word. We're starting this big series, and I'm just excited about the next 6 weeks of what God is going to be doing in our lives regarding God's dream for our future. In every weekend service for the next 6 weeks, and in 80-some small groups where people are gathering all over the valley, we'll be going through this material and kind of like journeying together into truths that will set us free, I believe. We'll be using our new book, which is called The Inspired Life. There's a workbook, a companion workbook that goes with the book. Those will be, I encourage you, read through the book and follow along in your small group. And if you haven't joined the small group yet, you can find locations near you in the lobby. Or you can go to gatewaysmallgroups.com, gatewaysmallgroups.com, or check at the Inspired Life table in the lobby. Get connected in right now. Now's the time to be a part of these small groups, because we're going to experience this together. In a small group, they'll watch a brief video teaching that we've prepared. And then the fun starts. After the video, people start talking and sharing their story, sharing their testimony, and experiencing the scriptures together. So it's going to be really great. There may be, I'm sure, in this service, there are just as many as there were in the last service, but I want to thank the Inspired Life hosts, the people that are leading these small groups and hosting, opening up their home and making a place for a a small group. I really want to thank you for that because I believe God is going to use your life in a powerful way. If you are an Inspired Life host for the next 6 weeks, would you please just stand? Just do me a favor, stand up right now. And I want the whole church to see you and thank you. And go ahead, let's give them a hand. And now those of you that haven't found a group, just look around. Maybe one of your friends is leading one. And this is going to be a powerful time, so you can also connect with them after the service. All right, we're going to have a lot of fun. And the purpose of all of this is to see people transformed. We're not just wanting to learn something. It's not just education, but we're going for transformation, transformation of our hearts through the truth of God's word. I love the word inspire. It's called the inspired life. Inspired, it's like a picture of breathing, inspiration, the breath of God that touches. But one of the great definitions of inspire means to fill someone with an urge to do something great. And I think it would be a huge win if all of us over the next 6 weeks were filled with an urge to do great things and experience the great things that God has for us. So that's why I'm excited, and that's where we're going, and I'm grateful that you are a part of this experience. So what is the inspired life? What is the inspired life? Well, it's going to take us a few weeks to unpack that, but I call it a six-layer cake, and I want to show you my favorite cake in the world. This is my inspired life cake, all right? Okay, I know I just lost you. You're hungry now. I look at the Inspired Life because we're going to be going through six kinds of teachings, 6 weeks, six layers of building this cake, you know, this whole picture that God has for us of what does it look like to live an inspired life. And it forms layer by layer, and we build line upon line, precept upon precept. And we begin with that first layer of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. But then next week, we move into becoming like Christ, and we won't be saying the same thing for 6 weeks. We're going to be moving together through these truths, following Christ, connecting with others, influencing others, and receiving rewards. So that rewards piece is just like the cherry on top, that last layer. And by the time we're done with these 6 weeks, we're going to see really what this inspired life that God has for us looks like. And I think it's going to be great. And I want to start this morning with just that first layer, which is knowing Jesus Christ. And the scripture we begin with is John chapter 17 and verse 3. I would like to invite you to read this aloud with me. These are the words of Jesus, and he's praying to the Father, and this is what he says. Let's read it out loud together. This is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. What an interesting verse. I want to point out a couple of key words. The first word is life. This is true and the real eternal life. This is what Jesus is praying and talking to the Father, the word life. Everyone say life. And then he says, what is that life? That life comes through knowing you, God. He's talking to God and he's saying, that life is coming as they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So he's praying and he's talking to God about life, and he says the life comes through the knowledge of God, by knowing intimate relation. It's not just knowing in your head. It's not just believing, okay, there must be a God somewhere. No, Jesus said, I'm praying that they wouldn't just think about God. I'm praying not that they would just know about God. I'm praying that they would know God, because that is real and eternal life. That's where we begin today. You know, have you ever noticed how powerfully your life can change when you just meet one person? You know, relationships are very, very powerful. Many years ago, I think it was around 1976, I met a foxy young girl. Her name is Kathy Canastracy. Yeah. I don't know if they say that anymore, foxy, but to me, she's foxy, and she certainly was foxy at that time. And I was a little thinner at that time, probably you noticed that, but you know, that happens. What can I say? It's life. That was in 1978, probably one of our, maybe in our first year of our relationship. And Kathy and I have been together. We've had, 38 Valentines together. There was a couple of Valentines where she was so out of her mind that she didn't want to be with me, and I forgave her, and we're okay now. But we weren't always together. We were sort of off and on, at the beginning. And so, but anyway, I've forgiven her and we're good now. So, but, you know, you're not really expecting when you meet someone special, you're not really expecting how powerful it can be in terms of affecting the rest of your life, right? But it's that special person that God sends you that really can change your story. And this beautiful lady, I mean, every detail of my life has been impacted by the way she loves me, the way she supports me. She helps me in ministry. She's, of course, we've built our family together. The way we live, the way we decorate, the things we buy, the things we do, it's all interwoven with this relationship, this person who has transformed. I would not be the person that I am today except for that relationship. But as powerful as my relationship with Kathy has been in changing my story and kind of rewriting the direction of my life, really the most powerful relationship in my life, and probably in yours, has been your relationship with God. Because when you meet God, and I'm not talking about knowing God as in I believe in God. I'm talking about coming into a relationship with God that's alive, that changes you. When you come into relationship with God, it literally rewrites your whole story. It changes the basis that you're living life on and what that's all about. And that's because relationship is super, super powerful. Relationship will bring change into your life. And in this case, what Jesus is saying is, God, I'm praying. He's praying like this. I pray that people's lives will change, that they will experience the true power of life by knowing you. Now, I want you to understand that word life a little bit better. And so in order to understand what Jesus is really talking about, you need to look at three Bible words for life. In the New Testament, the language that the New Testament was written in was Koine Greek. It's an ancient form of Greek, and we have the lexicon, we have the dictionary, and we know what these words mean, and that's how we were able to come to an English translation that we hold in our hands today. But the Greek words for life are very interesting, and there are three of them I want to point out to you. I want to talk to you about the highest level of life. The highest level of life is not this level, bios. That's a kind of life. A definition of that Greek word bios is it describes the life of the physical world. It's the world of trees and frogs and sunrises and sunsets and air and water. And it's the word bios is where we get the word biology from. So the world of living things. And there is a life in trees. And there is a life in a frog, and there is a life in the world of the physical realm, but that's not the highest level of life. Actually, if bios was the highest level of life, we should not be here today. We should be outside hugging a tree. If bios life, if that form of life was the ultimate, most fulfilling form of life, we should not be having a spiritual meeting. We shouldn't be praying. We should just be communing with Mother Nature. That would be the thing that would really supercharge us the best, right? But bios, while it's beautiful and while it's amazing and the fact that human beings are alive and animals are alive and all of that, that is quite amazing. That's not supernatural life. It comes from God, but it's not the highest kind of life. There's another kind of life that is defined by the Greek lexicon. It's called psuche life. Everyone say psuche. Oh, psuche, psuche. All right, some of you remember that. But that's not the same psuche. But anyway, psuche describes the life of the human soul, the inside of people. There is also a life on the inside of human beings. It's the world of our emotions. It's the world of our thoughts. Pretty hard to explain where thoughts come from and consciousness and what is that kind of form of life. That's very interesting. It's identified as psuche. It is the same word we get psychology from. So it's the whole world of thoughts, the inner self and ideas and philosophy, etc. That's the area of the human soul. And it has to do with our feelings. Now, God gave us a psuche life. He gave us our emotions. He gave us our psychological makeup. He gave us the human spirit, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Those are all from God. But I have to say that life is more than that. See, if that was the highest form of life, just the world of thoughts and feelings and philosophy, if that was the ultimate kind of life, we shouldn't be here. We should be studying a philosophy book. We should be getting in touch with our feelings. We should be digging deep on the inside just to know ourselves and discover our true selves. If that was the total answer for us, we wouldn't need anything else. We wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need Jesus Christ because we would have the ultimate form of life in us. I have feelings, I have moods, and that's it for me. That's the highest level of life, right? But there's one more level that's even higher. And we're grateful for the physical world, and we're grateful for the inside world, the world of our human thoughts and feelings. But this area is the highest level of life. I want to introduce you to the Zoe life. Zoe is also a Greek word that describes the life of God himself. This is spiritual life. This is the highest, purest, most intense form of life. It is life as God has it. It's not life like a tree that grows and goes through a growth cycle and eventually dies, or a frog that is born and then eventually dies. That's a kind of a physical life. It's not a psychological life. It's a life that never ends. It's life on a completely different level. It's the God kind of life. Now, the reason I'm explaining that to you is because when Jesus said, "This is real and eternal life," what he said is, "This is real and eternal Zoe." This is how you experience the highest kind of life, by knowing you, Father. This is how we experience change and reality in life. And this is what Jesus is praying that we would find. I want you to use your imagination this morning and just pretend. It's kind of a horrible thought, but just think, if you had been born underground and you had never been above ground a day in your life, you'd technically maybe be alive, but you'd never seen a sunset, you've never talked to another human being, you've never tasted really fantastic food, you don't know what friendship is, you've never felt the sun on your face, you've never breathed the oxygen above ground, and you've just lived your whole life basically below ground. It's tight, it's close, you can't quite breathe, but somehow maybe you could say you're alive. But by comparison to life above ground, you can't really say you're totally alive because you're not experiencing the fullness of life. But then one day, something happens and you come up above ground level and you see the sunset and you hear music and you meet people and you fall in love and you eat food and you see the sunset and rain and you breathe air and you are alive like on another level. This is a small picture of what I'm trying to describe, because so many people go through life kind of on the BIOS level. They just live for their physical body. They live for their spirit, their physical urges. They live a life that has to do with, you know, you're born, and you live, and then you die. That's the level that they live on. They live a life of the physical world, and that's really all they know. There are other people that have made such a world of their emotions. They've made psychology and counseling and understanding the self. They've made that really the fullness of life. They don't know if there's anything beyond that. So they just want to get in touch with their feelings. They just want to live and experience thoughts and ideas, philosophy. Maybe they're intellectuals. Maybe their whole world is just a world of thinking and logic and all that. But they've never really experienced anything more like that. To me, that's a picture of living life below ground. But Jesus came and he offered us something above ground. He offered to pull us out of a suffocating place that by comparison really is death. You know, we really are in a form of death if we're not alive to God, if we're not relating to Him. And so Jesus comes and He says, here, let me show you how to get up above ground and experience really what life is actually all about. And I can tell you that I lived below ground. Well, I believed in God. My parents knew the Lord, and I grew up around church, and I had thoughts about God and beliefs about God. But see, it's not believing in God that changes your life. It's not just having a certain faith or having a thought. It's actually knowing God. And this is why Jesus said this. And let me ask you to maybe write this down, make a note of this. Here's a very important point to keep track of. Real and eternal life comes only through Jesus Christ. Because here's what the Bible says. Watch this very carefully. Now you'll understand why I gave you a Greek lesson. Here's what the Bible says. In Him, in Christ, was what? Life. That God kind of life. Not bios, not suke. In Him was the God kind of life, eternal life. And that life was the light of men. When people encountered Jesus Christ, they came up from the ground and suddenly were in the light. Suddenly, they saw the colors. They understood what life is actually about. They understood love. They understood the purpose of God. They understood why they were here. That life that was on the inside of Jesus became light to every person that He met. And so when Jesus said, Father, I pray that people would find Zoe by knowing You, that life, we could say, how do I find this life? Do I find life? Do I find the God kind of life by having surgery? Maybe if I have surgery, if I alter my physiology, that'll make me happy. Is that what's going to do it? That's the lowest level of life. Well, maybe if I mess around with my soul and my moods and my feelings, maybe if I learn to manage my emotions and get into thoughts about philosophy and psychology and all that, maybe in that I'll find life. No, it doesn't say that in that you'll find life. Those things may be helpful. I'm not knocking those things because God created the physical world and He created the soul of man, right? But He says that's not the end of it. People say, well, I'll take a pill. I'll drink a beverage and it'll intoxicate my mind and my brain. I'll change my physiology. Then maybe I'll feel peace. But you see, that never really works because you can't find life by altering your body or altering your mind. You can only find life in the person of Jesus Christ because He's the one that carries life within Him. So you see, you connect to Christ and His life begins to fill you. From the very beginning, God wanted His people to experience life. You were never supposed to have a day below ground. That was never supposed to happen. From the beginning, God put Adam and Eve in a garden. And He planted a tree right in the middle of that garden, and that tree was called the tree of what? Life. It was the life of God. And He says, listen, I want you to eat this every day. I don't want you to have a minute of your life where you aren't experiencing everything that I have. It was a tree of life. But see, we forsook that tree. We chose a different tree. We started to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We didn't want to listen to God. We wanted to listen to ourselves. We wanted to be God ourselves. And when we did that, we disconnected ourselves from the light and the life of God. We fell into sin, and oh, what a fall that was. But you see, God raised up another tree, the tree of life through Jesus Christ. And He says this, my purpose is to come and give them a rich and satisfying what? Zoe life. My purpose is to bring them back to the tree that causes people never to die. My purpose is to bring them to a life that is so rich and full. Life, which by comparison to their former life underground, suffocating, breathing, that life in its fullness, in all of its beauty and all of its relevance. Now, having established that, I just want to ask you if you think that would make a difference for you. If you as a person could experience the same kind of life that God experiences. Do you think that that would change the equation for you? For example, what would it be like for you to live without anxiety? Why do I ask that? Because God doesn't experience anxiety. God in his life, the way he experiences life, he's free from anxiety. Do you think God is worried or upset today about the direction that things are going in your world? Or did God get nervous because you lost your job? Is God nervous and upset? What would it mean for you to live the same kind of life, to have such a supernatural peace that wasn't about your body and it wasn't about your soul or your feelings or your thoughts, but you were tapped in to a completely different kind of life where peace is flowing like a river, where joy is like a spring bubbling up. See, now you're experiencing, once you connect to that kind of life, you are really living. It doesn't matter what the stock market does, because that's not the source for you. There's a different source. You're tapped in by relationship to the source of all life. It makes a huge difference. And those of you that have given your heart to the Lord and you've come into relationship with Jesus Christ, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It seemed for me like when I got saved, because I knew about God, I believed in God, but I mean, I actually got to know him. And when I come to know God, then the colors came back into the world. It felt like I could breathe. I felt like the load of sin, that suffocating shame and pressure of my own failures and self-hatred and isolation and everything that I was living in, all of that broke off, and I started to breathe heaven's oxygen for the first time in my life. That is a transforming experience. That's what will change you through and through, and not just you, but it'll change every person who meets God. Jesus said, this is life, that they'll know you. And if they know you, God, they're going to experience life. Would that make a difference, for example, for a young couple who's got two or three children and life is nothing but bottles and diapers and work and pressure and midnight feedings and exhaustion and tiredness and money is tight and the bills are piling up and the boss is unhappy and that relationship that started close and sweet and lots of romance and love has just become, you know, mechanical and just trying to survive in life and that the wife or the husband may be thinking, is this all there is? Just the work and screaming kids and dirty diapers and washing bottles and just trying to stagger into bed at the end of the day. Would life actually make a difference for them? You bet it would. They find Christ, they realize, wait, life is more than just this. I'm not disappointed anymore. I'm experiencing life the way God lives it. Would it make a difference for that teenage girl that I shared with you just a few minutes ago? She was from a broken family. She never knew real security. She didn't know really what love was or what stability was her whole life. Her parents were not present in her life. She finds herself in a foster home with other confused kids. Somehow stumbles into a church. She's trying to practice the occult to see if there's anything there. She's experimenting with atheism, maybe there is no God, so confused, but she stumbles into a church where there's life. And she senses life and feels life and comes to know Christ, and that life breaks that suffocating loneliness and anxiety and tension that she's carried. She's never known a day of real life. She's been living underground her whole life. And then she meets the light. And that light is the life of men. And it changes her. And what about that construction worker who can't find work and he's battled raging alcoholism his whole life? His wife has had it. She can't take his moods. She can't take the abuse. So she grabs the kids and leaves him, and he's there alone with his suffocating shame and self-hatred, would it make a difference for him if he came to a celebrate recovery meeting at Gateway City Church and finds out that he can be free from his addiction and he can have his life put back together again? And it's not just memorizing scriptures and a list of do's and don'ts and rules and this and that. It's totally apart from the world of religion or philosophy. It has nothing to do with the mind. It has to do with who you know. Because let me explain something to you. Relationships are the conduit of your life changing. This is the fulcrum of how your life actually changes. My life changed when I came into relationship with Kathy. And my life really changed when I came into relationship with God. So I'm not talking to you today about understanding a philosophy or a religion. That's fine if you study all those things. But those thoughts and those feelings will never produce life for you. In him was life. In him was life. So it's not many paths to the top of the sand. You know, choose your religion. If it's Buddhism or Hinduism, doesn't really matter. No, because those aren't carrying life. Only Christ is carrying the life of God. And when you come, not when you learn about him, you say, Pastor David, I believe in God. Congratulations, that's wonderful. So does the devil. The devil believes in God. It's not having a thought in your mind, I believe in God. It's having a relationship with God. It's connecting with him and knowing him, because it's relationship that transfers life. That's why we want to build a church that's filled with relationships, because there is something in the person you're sitting next to that you need. And when you have relationship, that exchange takes place in a beautiful way. Relationships is where it's at. It's not about learning. It's great to learn, but your life changes only through relationship, and in particular, through relationship with God. Now, I want to make this statement clear as well. I think that too many believers live below the level of God's best. I know this because I was one. As I said to you, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents knew the Lord. I technically believed in God. I was a believer. But see, believing isn't what changed my life. It was coming into relationship with God. And I don't think we mean to do this. I think it can just happen with the busyness of life. It can happen over the course of time that we can, though we have faith in God, we drift away from our relationship with him. We start relying on do's and don'ts and books and manuals and all those things. Nothing wrong with them. We write them and use them here. But that's not the end of it. It's not just changing your thinking. It's connecting in with God. And you can do all the self-help courses in the world, but it won't produce the life that Jesus Christ in relationship with you will produce. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? So I think too many of us are living in a realm of constant anxiety, constant anger, constant frustration. And the truth is, we got to get really brutally honest and say, you know what? I don't think that's life as God experiences it. So what's going on here? Why is my marriage, why is my world so filled with like human kind of suke bios life, but where is the life of God? And the life of God comes in relationship with him. How is your relationship with God? Don't tell me how much you know about the Bible. Don't tell me how long you've been coming to church. I'm asking you, how is your connection with God? Is it alive? Because if your connection with God is alive, then life is a part of your experience, and you're moving from belief to actually knowing God. Let me just summarize it in this way. I'll say it this way. Know Jesus, no life. Know Jesus, and no life. That's clever, isn't it? Don't you appreciate that? That's clever. See what I did there? It's like a play on words. You followed that, right? You got it. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Period. But if you have Jesus, if you know him, then you will know life. Now, in the last few minutes here, we're gonna wrap this service up in about 10 or 12 minutes, but let me just give you three quick thoughts for how to experience the fullest, highest level of life that is possible for you. How do we experience that Zoe life? Three simple things. First of all, you have to see that it's a personal relationship. You receive Christ not by being born as a Christian or being a part of a family that's a Christian family. It's got to be personal for you. Again, it's not what you know. It's the relationship that you have. The inspired life that we're describing here, it's a life of knowing God personally and responding to him and receiving him. He created us for that. And when you receive Christ, it has to be personal. Today, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never received Christ, I'm going to pray a prayer with you. I hope you'll mean it with all your heart. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. It's not, I don't fully understand everything about you, but I want to know you. I want to meet you. That's a personal thing. John 1 says, for all that did receive him and trust in him, see, he gave them the right to be reborn as children of God. It's a personal decision. But then it's also a complete relationship. Not just a personal relationship, but it needs to be complete. And I'll tell you what makes the Christian life complete, and that is obedience. You see, the inspired life is about following the Lord as a disciple. It's not just about meeting him, but it's actually, like Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, enter into my way of doing it. Just because you meet God doesn't mean you have instantly figured out everything about how life works. You've got to follow Jesus and begin to discover his way of doing life. That's where the anxiety is broken. That's where the sin is broken. That's where the faith is built up, because you're in a relationship with God that is complete. Now, one of the most overlooked areas of having a completely obedient life and really experiencing the fullness of God is water baptism. People overlook this all the time. I myself fought against it. I received Christ. And then when it was time to be water baptized, it was like there was an argument in me. It was like, no, I don't need to do that. That's, you know, okay, I got it. I prayed the prayer. I received Christ. I got it from here. But see, that is the worst way to have a relationship with God. You and I still calling the shots. You and I still saying, look, I'm going to dictate the terms of how I relate to God. So you can't have that kind of control. The Lord is looking for surrender. And so he says, repent and be baptized and you'll be saved. And one of the most striking verses about that subject is, can we go back to the verse? Yeah, it's Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, we were dead and buried with him. How? Now, here's the most interesting thing about baptism. When you're water baptized physically, think about the act of being physically, you're going down underground. You are identifying with Christ in the tomb, in his death, suffocated, cut off from air, cut off from life. Now, we won't hold you there very long. It's just a very fast thing. You won't be. But this is what, no, really. You are underground, and then you are coming up in life. What does it say? We are dead and buried with him in baptism, so that just as he was raised from the dead, so we too might rise to life on a totally different level. This is the supernatural life of God. So I want to encourage you. Next Sunday, the timing for this is brilliant. Next Sunday, we're having water baptisms. So I want to invite you. You can literally be baptized next Sunday and experience the fullness of this truth that I'm sharing with you about obedience to the Lord. I really want this for you, because a lot of us, we need that control broken off of our lives where we try to dictate how and where and when we believe and all that. There's a place of surrender in baptism that just says, "This is, you know what, this is it, my whole life. The old life is dying, and I'm coming up for air in Christ. I'm going to experience something new." We're going to have a water baptism service next Sunday. I want to challenge you to take a connection card if you've never been baptized. put your name and give us your information so we can contact you with the details for how you can be baptized next Sunday. And don't blow this off. Don't be a bonehead like I was. Just say, okay, you know what? I've tried so long to control all of this. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to do it God's way. Because when you do, you're going to rise up in a brand new kind of life. So maybe take that card, fill it out now, and we'll get that card from you at the end of the service. Here's the last piece of this, okay? And we're just running out of time today. But are you getting anything out of this? Okay. Talking about how do we experience real life, the third piece is a growing relationship with God. First you meet him, and then you grow in your relationship with God. Just the way Kathy and I have learned, you know, to take care of each other. We've learned, and we're still learning. You don't ever stop growing. Look, if you're in a relationship, let me just tell you this. Let's push pause on Jesus for just one second here. Let's just talk about relationships, period. Don't ever stop growing in your relationships. Don't let it become stagnant. Keep pursuing the heart of that person that's so special to you. Don't back off. Don't cool off. Don't step back from that relationship. Stay engaged in that relationship because that's where the life is. And it's exactly the same thing with God. You grow in your relationship with God. You receive Christ, but you're not there on your first day. You haven't like entered in. I'm still learning how to follow Jesus. Still learning how not to be a bonehead in his presence. And he's so patient and he's so loving. The inspired life is about developing your relationship with God. That's why you need church. That's why you need to read your Bible. That's why you need prayer. That's why you need to be around other Christians, because it helps you grow in your relationship with God. That's what we do. We grow together in faith. I want to just invite you to stand with me this morning. We're going to have a moment of prayer here, and I want to just ask you about your relationship with God. Not do you believe in him? I mean, you probably do. You're in a church. But how's that connection? Are you growing? Because if you've stopped growing, you've stopped receiving life. In him is the Zoe. And he came that you might have Zoe life. Father, I pray for every person in this room. I want them, Lord, to eat of that tree of life. Not religion and philosophy, not the physical world of burnout and pleasure and all that. Lord, let us come above ground to experience something we've never experienced before. Lord Jesus, we just confess that you alone are the one that can give us life. And that whether things are well and smooth right now or not doesn't make a difference. The issue is, do we have life or are we still underground? And Lord, I pray today that many people will come and rise up in Christ to feel the sunshine of your love, to feel your grace and your forgiveness and the new life that only Jesus can bring. Lord, I pray that you would establish that deep in our lives today. I want you to join Pastor Nicole and let's just sing about our love for the Lord.
Your sacrifice is overwhelming.
Suffered and died.
Because you love me.
Because you love me.
Now I'm alive.
I'm alive. Only through Christ who first loved me.
Yes. Come on.
Singing, I love you, Lord.
And I love you. Jesus, I love you.
Oh, we love you.
Yes, I love you.
Sing that again.
Because you first loved me.
Oh, I love you.
Yes, I love you.
love you.
I love you. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I love you. Because you first loved me.
I hear the Lord saying, you're going to breathe again. I hear the Lord saying, you're not going to be suffocated. You're going to draw my life in as never before. Yes, you have questions. No, things haven't been perfect. But you're going to breathe my life. And my love for you is big, says the Lord. My grace for you is available right now. Greg, I even hear this for you, brother. I've been thinking about you, and I know, like Lazarus was in a tomb, that there's a brand new thing God is doing in you. He's calling you out of that previous place into a better place. I see God doing that all over this auditorium. You're going to breathe again. Everyone say that. I'm going to breathe again. I'm going to say this. I'm going to be all right. See, because you're back on solid ground now. It's relationship with God. I want to ask my friends on the prayer team if you would just come and begin to make your way forward. We're going to close the service this way. These men and women are here because they care. They'll talk to you. They'll pray with you. We want to make sure that every week at Gateway, you have a chance to just connect with somebody who can pray and minister to you, talk to you about eternal life. If you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer with me and then let one of us know that you prayed that prayer. But if you just need healing prayer in your life or whatever, these folks are here. And I want to invite you to say this prayer with me. This week in your small group, I hope you'll be there. You'll be going through a little bit more on this subject of knowing Christ and having a relationship with Him. We're going to look at other scriptures and get a little bit more teaching on it. We want to nurture that faith. But if you're just beginning, or maybe you're just rededicating your life to the Lord, let this be your prayer. I'm going to invite everyone in the cafe, online, and here in the auditorium, let's all say this prayer together. Father God, thank you for the promise of a higher and greater life in Christ. I want it, but too often I've run from it. Forgive me, Lord. I release my old life to you. More than anything, I want to know you in a personal and powerful way. By faith, I gladly receive this life in Christ's name. Amen. Now, just before you go, it's so urgent, so important, as we saw in the scriptures, that you would be baptized. If you've come to faith in Christ and you've never been water baptized, just connect with us by filling out that connection card. Say, that's me. I'd like to be in that water baptismal service. It'll be at this hour, the same hour, the 11 o'clock hour. We'll give you some instruction. We'll tell you what to wear and how to come prepared for that. And then you can bring your friends and family members, and they can witness you and observe you being water baptized. It's going to be a beautiful experience. So we'll do that next Sunday. Please fill out the card, get it to one of our pastors, hand it to an usher, or just drop it on the Inspired Life table so we can get the details to you for water baptism, okay? And the welcome weekend, folks, if you've never met our pastors, myself and Kathy, we'd love to shake your hand, get to know you at the 10-15 minute reception. We'll start that in just a few minutes, all right? I speak a blessing over you. I speak the life of Christ. I speak oxygen from heaven over your life. You breathe. You're not underground anymore. You're up. You're up. You're breathing. You're knowing God. Now go live a big life for Him. Amen. Live a huge life for Him. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.